Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
2:07 on a Tuesday afternoon here in a very chilly, cold St. Louis, Missouri. We appreciate you being here with us. We just got done listening to Senator Eric Schmidt. Just music to my ears to listen to him call it like it is, as he was one of the senators on the committee that was questioning Pete Hegseth earlier today. Another one of those senators was Senator Sheehy, and Ryan was kind of like giggling about this over here. And so we thought, well, he started reading us some of the quotes. We're like, well, we should just play that on.
Yeah,
here,
we haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, we haven't heard it.
We just read it.
So, Brad, let's dip into Senator Sheehy's line of questioning here a little bit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pete, I'm actually going to ask you questions because I want to hear your answer. How many genders are there? Tough one.
Senator, there are two genders.
I know that well. I'm a Sheehy, so I'm on board.
Sheehy.
What is the diameter of the rifle round fired out of an M4 A1 rifle?
That's a 5.56.
How many push-ups can you do?
I did 5 sets of 47 this morning.
47?
5 sets?
47?
What do you think
of 47?
What do you think our most important strategic base is in the Pacific?
In the Pacific, Guam is pretty strategically significant.
How many rounds of 5.56 can you fit into the magazine of an M4 rifle?
Depends on the magazine, but standard issue is 30, Senator.
And what size round does the M9 Beretta standard issue sidearm for the military fire?
A 9mm, Senator.
What kind of batteries do you put in your night vision goggle?
Duracell.
Good answer.
So right there, you're representing qualifications that show you understand what the warfighter deals with every single day on the battlefield. You understand what happens on the front line, where our troops will be. And what happens, unfortunately, in this country is decisions made in rooms like this, bad decisions, end up in dead 17, 18, 19-year-old Americans. And those Americans rarely come from families that sit in rooms like this. They come from lower, middle-income families who sometimes the military is their only way out. And they join because maybe they want to go to college. Maybe they know the choice. Maybe they love this country. But for whatever reason, they joined and they saw it on the dotted line. And when people like us screw up, they don't come home. And that's the one thing that I care about. As you remember when I shut the door when you came with your entourage, Senator Coleman, I've known for a long time, and you and I sat together and asked you one question. You remember what that question was?
Are you going to have the backs of the warfighters?
Exactly. What is going to be your number one priority? And I don't care, frankly, what all these letters and articles say. I've been a part of a smear campaign, too. I get it. I care that you're going to have one thing in mind when you sit in that chair in that five-sided building. And you told me what that was. So with that, you have my support. I'm sorry you have to go through a process like this.
There's Senator Tim Sheehy of Montana. This guy is 39 years old. That senator, birth year, 1985.
Sheehy's the new one.
Who was the guy from Montana?
He beat Tester. John Tester.
Yeah, he beat him well. his education is the United States Naval Academy. So he is a service member, according to a quick Wikipedia. Sheehy is an American politician, businessman, aerial firefighter, and former Navy SEAL, who is a United States senator for Montana. Sheehy founded Bridger Aerospace, an aerial firefighting and wildfire management company. Wow.
You know, Sheehy's making a really good point here, though, that needs to be made. And this isn't the qualification for the job, but this is an important, this is an undercover boss moment where he's saying, look, all these CEOs and all these people who've run these things in the past, they have no idea what you do on a daily basis. You actually know what it's like to be in the trenches, to be, you know, firing the actual weapons, not just pointing.
You know,
at
when
maps.
You're around the bullets that you're putting in a gun, you need that gun because people are going to be firing back at you.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Different perspective. And when I see a lot of the Democrat senators and the pundits that we will hear, of course, on news media talking about how non-traditional Pete Hegseth's nomination is, it's kind of like, yeah, that's the point.
One of our commenters a minute ago said, "Oh, I'm glad to see that the pullout in Afghanistan had qualified leaders." You know, just list the things that we've done in the last 4 years and say, oh, at least that was under qualified leadership, though.
Yeah. Do you sleep well at night when you just say that out loud, you know, and you just like, I just don't. Yeah, I just don't. I wanted to talk about Michelle Obama because this kind of started a little chatter at the Jimmy Carter funeral. Have everybody up there. Was everybody there but Michelle?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Both Bidens. Joe and Jill, Kamala and Doug. You had Hillary and Bill. Al Gore was there.
Was Tipper Gore there?
I don't remember.
Nobody mentioned that she wasn't, so I think she was.
George and Laura were there. Of course, Donald Trump and Melania were there. And Barack Obama was there without Michelle. Fox News reports this afternoon that former First Lady Michelle Obama will not attend the inauguration of President-elect Trump on Monday, which will mark the second absence in 2 weeks from a gathering of former presidents and their spouses. Obama was not in attendance at former President Jimmy Carter's funeral last week. Former President Barack Obama is scheduled to attend the January 20th inauguration event, along with Presidents Bill Clinton and George W. Bush and their spouses. A statement from the office of Barack and Michelle Obama was shared with the Associated Press. Quote, former President Barack Obama is confirmed to attend the 60th inaugural ceremonies. Former First Lady Michelle Obama will not attend the upcoming inauguration.
Uh-oh.
It's unclear why she is skipping. Okay, let's talk this out just a little bit. What the first and foremost thing is, we don't know. Because they're not telling us. They're also not giving what I would call a qualified explanation of her absence. There are not many things that happen to you in life as a former first family that are like, oh, I can't. My son's got a basketball game, which is generally my excuse, not excuse, but reason. I try to prioritize my kids. I don't want my kids to be second to work ever unless I can explain to my kids what it is and why I'm choosing to do work over participate in their lives. What's on your calendar that you're like, oh, shucks, that's the same day?
I'm not saying that Donald Trump destroyed their marriage. I am saying that a lot of Democrat talking points just so happen to be falling through the wayside right now.
The suggestion behind the Jimmy Carter absence, and Jack Posobiec is somebody who tweeted, and I think that Jack Posobiec is a purveyor of information with the intent of persuasion.
Fair.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who social media wise will ask questions that they're not really looking for specific answers for. You just put it out there. Joe Concha was on with us at 12:25 and he gave the classic media ethics question, Ryan, why do you beat your wife? And you say, I don't beat my wife. And then the next follow up is, well, can you prove it? And obviously at this point, we're watching you defend something that never, ever occurred. And everybody knows it doesn't occur, but here you are. The question is, is the relationship, the marriage of the Obamas in trouble? I hope it's not. I would not take any pleasure in watching that disseminate. And I will say, you can check the tapes, specifically after Donald Trump, I think, won the election. I was on air on weekends, but I've commended the Obamas from a family standpoint of having a what appeared to be strong family unit in the face of everything that would tear that apart. I have heard horror stories of, you know, the ones I'm thinking of specifically are prominent Republicans who have thrown themselves into the office that they serve, and their children have paid deep prices for it. Their marriages have paid deep prices for it. Infidelity is about as common as it gets in Washington, D.C. Families are ripped apart. Power and money is on the other end of pursuing the next step up in your career in Washington, D.C., and it just wreaks absolute havoc on the family. And to watch the Obamas appear to emulate a very strong family, a very loving marriage, two beautiful daughters, is the one thing that I felt when I saw the Obamas. That's the one thing I thought, I really like that part of them. I disagree with pretty much all of their politics. I'm trying to think of where I'm like, well, that was good. But I can set politics aside, and I'm for the family. I think that that is the epicenter of getting this country back on track, is to amplify families, fathers, mothers, having children. It gives you purpose in a sense that gives you something to look forward to, especially if you're in a position of leadership. You're thinking about the future in a different, more complicated way when you're thinking about the generations to come. But with this absence, it will put fuel on a fire of the Obamas' marriage being in jeopardy. And as soon as that starts happening, eventually you'll see, if everything is fine or if it's fine enough, you'll see a joint appearance. There will be a picture of them doing something together that's like, okay, well, I guess that's not the talking point for right now. But with all that set aside, we know that there are many accusations and jokes about Michelle Obama, who she is and all that stuff. Why, if I were she, I would not want to be there. I would not want to be around those people. I would not want anything to do with it. I don't really blame her.
I don't know. These seem like events that you would have a tough time skipping, though. I mean, that's the death of a former
president. Not if you don't love your country.
Well, if it's Jimmy Carter, you know, he's a Democrat. You know, he's like the...
Yeah, that's the Carter funeral, different than the inauguration of your archenemy.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
And so skipping these two events, it really does look like something bigger. Because if it were... Hey, maybe they were having some marital trouble. You know, like things happen. You kind of set them aside and say, well, then let's just, look, I know we're fighting. Let's just get through these couple things and then we'll figure it out. But if you can't get through these couple things, it seems kind of big.
You think their marriage is in trouble?
It's starting to look like it. When you missed the one event, the Carter funeral, I said, well, there's a lot of things that it could be. But when you miss the second big event, where it's not just that you're not going to be there, it's that the conversation is going to be that you weren't there. And you know that ahead of time, and you're still not there.
Well, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. People were wondering where Kate Middleton was, and, you know, the weird photoshopped pictures of her coming out. And it turns out she was battling an illness.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe she's sick.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
And... specifically here in this nook of the media world, this tiny little corner that we occupy, I'm always cheering for the family. I'm always cheering for family units. I know that that's not the reality all the time. But it's definitely raising eyebrows. To your point, though, I can think of a million reasons why she would skip out the Trump inauguration. I can't really think of many good reasons to skip out on the Carter funeral, where there's no speaking involved. I mean, yes, the visuals are there, but I mean, just do what Karen Pence did and sit down and look the other way if you can't. Yeah. But you're to Karen's credit, she still went.
She's there. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I'm saying, is that even if it's not that their marriage is falling apart, it seems like it would have to be something kind of big to miss this many and this variety of events altogether.
Andy says, how many times did you discuss Trump's marriage when Melania didn't show up somewhere with him? I mean, I don't even really know how that is a sequitur here, because Melania and Donald Trump have not ever joined forces politically for anything. And Michelle Obama, as a first lady, was wildly respected, wildly lauded, put on the cover of every magazine, the way that the industries, the messengers out there wrap their arms around Michelle Obama and elevated her, and in kind did the exact opposite to Melania, derided her. If Melania Trump were a Democrat, she would be the greatest first lady this country has ever seen, without a doubt. And the way that she was treated, she didn't put herself in a position. She didn't want politics. She didn't enter into the idea of all of this to be a politician. She didn't marry a politician. She kind of got pulled into something that I don't think she ever thought she would be a part of. And she went along with it in a way that I thought was incredibly graceful. She never tried to put herself in the epicenter of the situation. And Michelle Obama was, through her own choices, aggressively active as the first lady. And I'm not judging her for that. But the idea that Melania and Donald presented themselves as a couple in the same way that Barack and Michelle presented them as a couple, oh my goodness gracious, that is not apples and oranges. That's apples and broccoli.
Yeah, even way after the fact, people still refer to Barack and Michelle Obama as like America's first couple.
Yeah.
You know, they're supposed to be that. They're the family we should all be looking toward, not Donald Trump and his third marriage.
And Andy, I was just going to say, Andy, to your point about how the marriages of these two individuals have been looked at, you're telling me that on one afternoon, I've got one eyebrow raised about the health level of the Obama marriage. And I'm saying this in a respectful way, suggesting that I am rooting for them because I don't want to see a marriage fail. And you're going to come at me and say, like, oh, but Trump? It's going to be a long 4 years.
The other thing, too, is that when Melania does something that is controversial, we have talked about that. Like, I really don't care, do you? The coach is where, you know, if she does something that makes waves, we do talk about it.
Well, let's compare apples to apples. If Melania wouldn't have been at the funeral, if Melania wasn't going to be at the inauguration, would we be talking about that? You better believe we would be. That would be a point of discussion.
I don't know that I would talk about it if she weren't at the funeral.
I don't know.
If she weren't at the inauguration, I would. To your point, the funeral absence is that's different than that's something you go to. That is way less political.
Yeah, it's a layup. Yeah, you don't really need to do anything about that.
And then you go on with your day. Let's take a quick break. We've got the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Will Pete Hegseth be confirmed as Secretary of Defense? Yes or no? Want to know what you think about it? You got to leave your comments and tell us, and we'll feature some of them on the show before we wrap up with Ethan in the 2:45 second. More Annie Fry Show right after this. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. do you feel like the mood of the country is going to be affected by Donald Trump's inauguration?
No, because I think the mood of the country is already there.
What's the new mood?
For patriotic, silent majority America, it's, this is going to be nice for once. For the left, I think they've kind of already had their meltdown. So I don't see another big one coming until he does something that really shocks them.
Had another conversation with today with somebody who said it's too quiet.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Maybe not too quiet, but it's relatively quiet.
So you would say it's quiet, not I would it's say, quiet. Too quiet.
No, I wouldn't have the too quiet part.
You would just say it's quiet.
Which is kind of quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the fresh snow.
I wonder if you could go into a room anywhere and say it's quiet and wait and... If there are other people, nobody says it's too quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would happen every time.
Well, unless you walk into a room that's very, very quiet because there are no people in it.
And the room goes, too quiet. And you're like, I think people are going to get a pep in their step. And they're not going to know that it's Trump related.
Okay.
If the economy improves, doesn't that make people feel better?
Yes.
I always say our country is so blessed because of our free market capitalism that we get to dabble in socialism. You think you have so much. You think that things are so great and that times are so good and we're just Americans and we're just bathing in our wealth and excess. That of course it makes sense mentally to think everybody should have this. Well, yeah, but you don't get it through socialism. And we usually have to do a little bit of a reset every once in a while. Unfortunately, in my lifetime, it was Obama in 2008 who wanted to fundamentally transform the United States of America. And, oh, by the way, it's through socialism. He was working his way into it. And when Donald Trump became the whiplash correction to that, people weren't ready for it.
I think we need to have on Inauguration Day, this coming Monday, the song from the original Willy Wonka movie. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it.
Keep going. We'll just use this.
Anything you want to do it, there's nothing to it. I think we needed to have that queued up for moments when we're like, oh, that's a good one. Then we just play it.
Ethan? You can keep the idiot clip from earlier, and I'll raise you that. Oh, man. For people who weren't listening, I said I was an idiot.
Mm-hmm. There it is again.
Dang it. You tricked me. I don't appreciate that. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking for... I don't think that the if you're conscious, you're in a rage over Donald Trump thing. I think people are too tired of it.
I do, too.
I think it's exhausting to go through that. I don't think that the right has Biden outrage the way the left has Trump outrage.
No, I don't either. You know what's weird, though, is that the Trump outrage thing, and people have said this, I think there's some truth to this, that he sort of has just worn you down. He's been around now for 9 years. So when he says something that's crazy and you're like, oh, my gosh, he's going to make Canada the 51st state, the outrage machine that happens in the media or even some maybe your relatives, your friends, it's like it's passe. It's like it's just get over it.
It's like living by a railroad track.
We've done this before. Yeah, it's not cool to be outraged anymore because we've already seen that play.
Isn't that the way we were in the 90s? Kind of like just annoyed. And independent. The 90s, it's weird to reflect on the 90s, being a child of the 90s, and think about how good we had it. And a lot of that is pre-digital age. So we can't go back to that. But in the 90s, you know, the idea of grunge music, it was just like about, kind of like a classical liberalism that existed where it's like, I just want to be me. I just want to exist and succeed. And then all of a sudden you've got grunge that led into alternative music being very successful. And then on top of that, it turned into emo. When we went emo, we screwed up.
Yeah, that was the mess.
That's what it's really all draws back to.
Yeah, because it was libertarian until emo made it. Like it was whiny,
progressive, stocking cap lady screaming in the street.
That was the crossover.
Occupy Wall Street.
Here's a question, though.
Somebody check the timeline for Occupy Wall Street's intersection with the peak of emo music.
Emo would have come around like late George W. Bush. So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Avril Lavigne.
No, she's alternative. She's not emo.
She was starting to put a foot in the door.
Avril Lavigne is... like the year 2000, maybe even before that.
Yeah, she would have predated it, but it was like, I would say 2005 was when emo really started.
Mid 2000s, for sure. And yeah, George Bush, Iraq War, people going, what are we doing? Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Russell has a question for you on the chat there. Okay. I've got it featured up here. You can.
Russell, does Ryan sing that song while sitting on the bidet? Look, I sing a lot of songs while sitting on a lot of things. Does that answer your question?
You know what that's not? A no.
Most people practice their songs in the shower.
Well, it's because of the echo. You get the same thing with the bidet, though.
I do not think you're using the bidet correctly. I don't. I'm just convinced that your usage of the bidet, the reason you like it so much, is not why other people use it.
Do you sing in the shower?
I used to.
Before kids?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, listen, I hear you people. Message me and encourage me. I get zero time to myself. I'm trying to like shampoo my hair and I'm being asked about Doc McStuffins. I mean, I have a picture from, it's probably like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. I'm taking a shower, and there are children that have pulled in chairs from other rooms to sit in front of the shower while I'm taking a shower so that we can talk and chat.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
My kids are old enough that they're not doing that anymore. But I remember the days when my two older would go to school. My youngest was still in preseschool. And so it would just be me and him. Well, I got to take a shower. So I get in the shower. He would just come
sit
in the bathroom.
They're like, oh, good, us time.
Yeah. Come sit in the bathroom with me.
I don't know. I mean, tell me. Let's just see here. I'm going to say this because if you've parented, you know that this to be true. Like, you don't get to use the restroom in any capacity by yourself. You just know that you will have, it's, I told my husband, I said, it's like being in a constant press conference.
Mm-hmm.
When are we going to do this? What are we going to eat? Are we going to have this? I don't want that. You need to do better. I mean, my kids are great. I love all of them dearly. But you just answer questions all day, the same questions every day, and you can't really satisfy them.
You know what drives me crazy is when you're talking about something with your spouse. You think the kids are not around and you're going to say something that's like not controversial, but just that you don't want them to hear necessarily.
You
want to
watch
Hot
Frosty tonight?
Not necessarily, but something
I'm
along those lines.
I'm not asking you.
Oh, I thought you were asking. No, I'm okay.
Well, the proper answer would have been no.
I've seen Hot Frosty is the answer.
With your wife.
With my wife. We had a nice time. But when you're saying something and you're like, this is not really for kids. And then from the other room, what? You're like, you're not even close.
Knock it off, kid. Not for you.
I don't think you heard what I said, but it's like you could hear that you shouldn't hear it. And then you yell, say it louder. What was that?
And then you could be talking directly to them and they don't listen.
Yes, exactly.
Why is this?
I don't know.
Sin,
it's
the fall.
It's probably the fall.
It's the fall.
I'll pray for
or
them.
My favorite is, and by favorite, I mean the worst, is I'll be sitting on my phone. It's like, imagine I'm in frame. Like, it's a show. You watch a show. I'm sitting there, and I'm on my phone. And then all of a sudden, you just see out of the corner of the frame, your kid's head just, like, pops in to look over and to see what you're doing on your phone. And it's just like the slow head turn. What are you doing? And they're like, oh, sorry.
Uh-huh.
It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm sending a work email. This is of zero interest to you.
Or you go to click on a video because it looks like it's going to be a 15-second video that might make you laugh. You forgot to turn the sound all the way down, and so instantly all the kids are on your shoulders. What was that?
What was that? Yeah.
I don't know. It was a guy falling down on a snowboard. Oh, yeah? Can we watch that? Can we watch five more?
They're so inquisitive. It's just everywhere you go. Mom. I know I'm going to miss it. But do you also kind of not miss it?
Yeah, you kind of not
miss
it.
You don't know yet.
I think that I do know because there are things about the baby phase that I look back on and I'm like,
I don't miss that.
Yeah, that was nice, but I don't miss a lot of it.
You don't want to do it. You cherish the memory.
Yes.
Don't need to revisit it.
That's what everybody says, is you're going to remember the good stuff. Totally true. But I try really hard to remember the bad stuff, Annie.
Birth control.
Yep.
I need feedback from y'all on the YouTube channel. Give me confidence, because all I ever tell myself is, endure it, Annie. One day this will be over and you'll be crying in your room sad. Isn't there also a part of you where you're like, I could go do whatever I want whenever I want. Good.
Oh, my friends who have kids that are of, maybe not quite driving age, but close to it, say, it's amazing. We can just go out on a date and the kids stay home.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that's like.
There's this comedian. I got to find out what her name was. And I think I sent it to my husband. So I think I might have it. I should play it for you guys sometime. But she's maybe in her mid-50s or whatever. And her bit is like, my daughter hates me. Or something like that. But she goes into this whole thing about how God prepares you to let go of those children that you love so dearly and you're so connected with and you're so emotional about letting them go by making your children hate you right before they leave. And you're like, bye. Or I gave the peace sign to the people who are watching here on the YouTube. Molly, my little 3-year-old Molly, when she takes a picture and she goes to pose, she puts her hands up with two peace signs and she goes, twos.
That's cute.
We're going to do that forever. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
I'll be f***ed up if you can't be right.
Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. I am watching people react this inauguration, people being very excited for the inauguration. Fox is covering it right now, and I was just reading this headline. Joy Behar questions how Carrie Underwood could love country if she's performing for Trump. Joy Behar doesn't love her country if Trump is the president.
Hmm. Quite a conundrum.
Yeah, it's just a hypocrite.
Yep.
I really think we're going to see more people come out, and they're not going to Kid Rock the thing. They're not going to Elon Musk the thing where they're like, ooh, I went on the train. But they are going to be adjacent in a way that we haven't seen public figures be willing to. There's a huge PR move to make sure that you are light years away from being connected to anything Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's going to go away.
Well, I think it already has.
Well, we're seeing it, and the Joy Behars of the world are not the arbiters of who does and does not love their country.
Yeah, they can't figure out what happened. It was like they had the world figured out. They knew their place in it, and all of a sudden, it is all shifted. You know, the moment that I realized things have changed, it was not Zachary Levi, although he was a big part of that.
Flynn Rider.
It was Sylvester Stallone speaking at a big Mar-a-Lago event.
That was big for you?
That was big.
As an Italian?
No.
What is your... I was going to...
Who's kind of on the tail end of his career.
Like Christmas wrapping presents?
No. In the ring. Mm-hmm. Punching people in the face. That's what I mean.
If somebody throws a punch at you and they have a clue about fighting, what's your move?
Well, first you dodge, then you go for the gut.
Then you duck.
No.
And then you dive.
There's a move in boxing that we call zombieism. And it's totally counter to what you'd think it would be. It sounds like you just take a punch and then you fall down and you just kind of keep getting back up. You know, that's the zombie thing. No. You miss the punch entirely because you're so fast, and then you bite them in the stomach.
We can arrange this. I just want to test your theory. I want to see how good you are.
See, like, you guys are acting like, oh, you're making up this boxing stuff. How would I make up a move like that fast? Clearly, I've done this.
Oh, I believe that you've been in a fight and you've tried to bite someone in the belly. I believe that.
I'll tell you this right now. The fatter you are, the harder it is. So when somebody's really in shape, you can really latch on to some meat there with your teeth.
There are very few times I'm disgusted at the thought that I go,
she really doesn't know what to say.
Well,
that was one of them.
I'm at a fork in the road in a moment like that. I have to decide because I disagreed with what you said. But I was.
You disagreed with the premise? Like that it would be easier to latch on to the fat?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm very angry that you made me consider that. This is a professional talk radio show that people tune into for their information. And I'm like, well, I don't believe you. I think it'd be easier to bite a fat belly. And then I'm mad.
You think?
Yes, I'm mad.
Well, the reason you haven't thought of it.
No. We're not discussing it. That's the problem.
You've probably seen the term zombie boxing before.
No, I have not.
But you never researched it because you had no reason to.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I clearly do. I'm on the tail end of my career.
I think just waiting for a opportunity like Mike Tyson.
Uh-huh.
We can get Jake Paul.
I'll fight Mike Tyson in 25 years. Well, I'll be older too,
that'd
though.
Definitely be zombie
I'll
boxing.
Fight Mike Tyson when he's that old, but I'm now. If you can set that up, I'll do it.
But I'm now.
Why do you think it would be easier to bite someone in the belly who's ripped?
Because of the meat factor. This isn't even up for
what
debate.
What about the fat factor? Why are we debating it? That's the question.
If
but here
the belly
we are.
Is so big mm-hmm. that it is like a nice rotund Santa belly. It's just hard because there's nothing to latch on to.
It's not hard.
No,
that's
no,
the problem.
But it's all pushed out. No. Now, this is like a freshly fat
belly. Are you familiar with well-toned abs? Do you know
No.
Okay. Well, then
I don't keep good care of
myself.
If Ethan
comes in here to comment on this, he's not listening.
We're talking about sports here, Ethan, so this is probably your territory. And let's just reset. In boxing, if you fight what's known as commonly a zombie boxer.
Don't.
This is some kind of sports.
Don't entertain it.
And the person, you know, somebody goes, takes a swing at the zombie boxer, he dodges, he goes down, he bites you in the stomach. Is it easier to bite a tone belly or a big fat belly?
How am I supposed to not entertain this?
Just answer the question. Would it be easier to bite a fat belly or a tone belly?
I think we got Friday's poll.
This is good that this is our last show. I'm glad we're going out on a high note.
Processing this.
Just sports analytics. I mean, do Moneyball on this.
Okay,
thing.
So
Ryan, quick, while he's thinking, just go ahead and read JB's comment there on the live stream that we've featured here. It's
JB's
just
comment.
An important.
Does Wiggins have his resumes up today?
Okay, yeah, go on. Ethan?
I think that. Well, you have to think that because you know, bigger stomach, you don't have to go as far to get to like what you're going to bite.
Ooh, so the reach factor.
You have that disadvantage, but you could also keep in mind because it's a little more blubbery. You as you're trying to bite. Your teeth could slip if you don't have good grip on it. That's my thought. If it's toned, you're going to have to reach a little bit farther depending on, you know, how big the belly is, but you're going to be able to sink your teeth into that a little bit better.
Look, I just want to say thank you for living in the real world for once.
Yeah, this is the real world. This is what reality is right here.
Are you impressed with my analysis?
Yes, I am. I think you need to take that to wherever the next big sports casting job that you go to, and you need to remember that, and hopefully it's boxing.
Does that qualify me for color commentary?
Barry, yeah. This conversation as much as you can before you go in for that interview. Pretend it didn't happen. Ender said Ethan's 100% right. I don't know about what, but here we are.
I just love that you guys had polar opposite reactions to my answer. You saying bury it and you saying use that to get your next job.
Because he thinks he's right.
Well, it's
all that matters.
It really just tells where you guys are in your lives.
It's one thing we do agree on. Annie at the very beginning of a very long broadcasting career, me at the very end of a boxing career that's not necessarily illustrious, but at least exists.
Yeah, it's there.
Also not true. It does not exist. The limit does not exist.
A very long boxing career.
Ender says, as a fat person, I concur with Ethan's conclusions.
Because people have tried to bite you after you took a swing at them?
Quick Rick says, great filler for dead air. I agree with
dead
Rick.
Dead air because of the boxing thing. Oh, or because of the zombie thing. Not boxing.
This whole, all of this started because you said that you were a big fan of Sylvester Stallone, not because you're Italian, but
because
you're
I'm
a boxer, which is full of crap. Do you feel like you've seen any other celebrities be willing to be, like, post-election? The reality is now that Donald Trump is the president.
I don't know that post-election, but these things continue to happen, like the Carrie Underwood thing is the next one. I don't think people are lining up to get on TikTok and go, I'm a Trump supporter now. But I think when opportunities arise, they're not going to shy away from them. Kurt Russell was one that shocked me. You saw him walking around wearing shirts that I don't even know if they directly said MAGA, but they would say things that he was like fine with showing off the fact that he was going to vote for Trump.
TMZ, once again, is covering Donald Trump and the Village People. And they have a woman on there right now saying, you know, like the song that they play, he's like, they're gonna have thousands of people doing the Trump dance all at once, and she thinks that's kind of funny. That song isn't about politics as much as it's just about making people feel good. And it's really ironic to me that is a connection to the Trump MAGA movement, is this idea of feeling good, which again, ironically, is associated with the word joy, which the other side tried to force feed you, and you're like, this doesn't feel very joyful. But they had Ivanka Trump up there just before on TMZ, and they were just talking about how she's doing, I don't know, it was like a story. I was like, wait, I'm always waiting to hear the angle. When do you report, when do you spoon feed us the story about Trump so you can remind us why we hate him? And it's, culture is shifting in a way where you don't have to always show up to say why you hate Trump so much. And if Donald Trump is able to do what he says he's going to do, if what Steve Moore has told us on Monday is about the economy, if Donald Trump is going to make an impact on our understanding of our own personal economies in our checking accounts and the ability to build a savings account, to pay down debt that we might have, to be able to afford things in the grocery store, at the gas pump, That is going to put a pep in people's step, and they may not even realize that Donald Trump is responsible for it. And that's okay with me. I long for the days where you don't have to predefine who you are or who you associate with based on who they vote for. Because we all remember a time, or at least, Ethan, I hope you do too, when that wasn't the prevailing factor in a relationship, is that you were politically aligned.
Or it doesn't destroy your career.
Also true.
Because of cancel culture, just because of... I mean, Hollywood is so influential. Like, stars, it's changing, yes, but stars have a lot of pull. And when you see them start to not care, that indicates a lot.
Yeah, or their PR firms aren't telling them that they have to be vocally opposed or vocally in favor or vocal warriors for particular things. Like, people are done with that. And COVID had a lot to do with that, too. The YouTube live chat poll for today. Ethan's going to give us these results here in a second. Will Pete Hegseth be confirmed as Secretary of Defense? Brad, what do you think?
I think he will. I don't think that there was anything that I saw today outside of Democrat temper tantrums. None of that's going to move the needle. I think the people like Joni Ernst, I watched her testimony. I think she's a yes. So I think that he'll get all the Republican votes that he needs.
Right.
And there might be Democrats.
Yeah, I do. I think Collins and Murkowski, you know, some of those middling Republicans are going to have a tough time because he's kind of divisive. But I still think he will.
Ethan?
I'm going to agree with my two pals between that I'm between Brad
four
and
yeses.
Ryan and say yes.
Okay, what do the people say?
The people answer today's YouTube live chat poll, 324 of them specifically, answering the question, will Pete Hegseth be confirmed as Secretary of Defense? 96%
That's resounding.
Say yes. 4% no.
4%. We appreciate the 4% here too. We're 4%ers. And 96%ers. Thank you for being here today. We will continue to cover these hearings as they happen, and Mark Reardon will as well on the Mark Reardon Show coming up next.